Welcome, Dr. James Beckett, Sports Card Insights, Hockey Box Battle from Upper Deck. Got four different products from Upper Deck. Thank you very much. And I thought that would be interesting to consider them. They're all hockey. It's that time of year where hockey's getting very interesting. The Stars are doing well. I don't have my season tickets anymore, but I still follow hockey. And I used to love the Stars and still love the Stars, and maybe this will be their year. So thanks, Upper Deck. Thanks, Tops. Thanks, Panini. Thanks, Heritage Auctions. Huggins & Scott Auctions, Mike Stadium Sports Cards, Burbank Sports Cards, ComC.com, and Beckett Media, Beckett Grading, Beckett Authentications. I'm going to go through these, not in any particular order, although I probably will save the obvious one for last, and you'll know that when I get there. So first is the 22-23 Parkhurst Champions products, 8 cards per pack, 20 packs per box. I thought I was going to like this. I did like it. There was a lot of clarity. It didn't come across as a real premium brand. I have good feelings about Parkhurst from when I was a kid, as well as the various resurrections of Parkhurst, but this is nice. I love the fact that there's veterans, legends, and rookies. It's very obvious from the very top of the card. $120 per box seemed fair. Released a couple weeks ago in mid-late March. I guess I don't like when there's only 1 year of stats on the back. I did get an autograph card, but it wasn't somebody I recognized. So then should I buy another box thinking that I'm going to do better the next time? No, I'm not going to buy another box, even though I could do a lot worse. I thought it was a decent box. Let me keep moving to the next one because each one of these has a different feel and character to them. But the next one was the 2022-23 Upper Deck Clear Cut. Now you noticed it's 2024 right now. This Clear Cut box was released in February of this year. And so you wonder, why are they still mentioning the year 22-23? It actually gets worse. This is a product that even though it was released in February of 24 and has a nominal date on the box of 22-23, when you look at the fine print, you find that actually you could be getting a 21-22 card or a 22-23 card. So there are two different clear-cut years that you could get in your box with your one autographed card that's, you know, one touch in the box. You're only going to get one card, but it might not even be that year. Now, that's not generally bad if you get an older card. It's just 1 year older. That's one more year of being able to retrospectively look at who the good rookies are. I really think it takes time to percolate for some of these rookies in hockey, so I don't want to give up on them too soon. So if I'm getting a rookie from 21-22 or a player from that, I've got a couple years to see, is he going to make it? Has he made it? Or is he not? But again, a lot of these hockey players come up really young. So I probably would rather have the 21-22 autograph card. But I'm realizing, and there's no offense to anybody, but I don't call it gambling when you buy the one autograph per box. It's no different than anything. But I think the other skill involved in card collecting that I've tried to exploit to some degree is the skill of organization. And there's not a lot of organizing to do if you only get one card in the box. So I like it when I get a bunch of cards and I can organize them and see which ones are which and either alphabetize them or put them in numerical order or figure out what I'm going to do with each of the different groups, if there's inserts, whatever. There's none of that with this product. So this wouldn't hold my interest. Again, I'm probably not the primary customer. And it's $90 for the box. So you're paying $90 to get an autograph. And as I said, 9 out of 10 times, you're not going to get your money back. The 10th time, hopefully, makes up for the others. But again, there are no sure things there in it to make a profit. If people didn't pay that much, didn't pay the price, they'd have to come down on their price. And frankly, there is dynamic pricing. I know distributors are under some pressure, but the ability for distributors to do dynamic pricing, again, within reason for the card manufacturers, they provide a service to lower the price if something is not moving as fast as it should. And we always hear about when they've raised the price, when things are selling like hotcakes and they wouldn't be able to replace it. But $90 is a lot of money for one card, but not for people that are into hockey that are looking for, like I said, 9 out of 10 times, you're probably not going to get your money back, but the 10th time might make up for it. And everybody has that optimism. I'm doing four different Upper Deck hockey products, and their licensing guarantees are based on the whole category. They're promising the NHL players and the NHL teams and the league, they're guaranteeing them a certain amount of royalties, and they need to make it up. It all goes into the pot. So when they make four brands or 40 brands, they're going toward making sure they make their minimum guarantee, and they're obviously in it to make a profit. They really want to make a profit on every product. And the way you do that is is by selling out. You want to sell out your product and hopefully selling out your product at a profit. There were years in the junk wax era and in other times in my life where card companies had printed too many and at the end of the year were remaindered and they tried to quietly rent. That's happened a lot. The distributors or distributor people, Mike Kramer used to do that. They need to quietly recirculate that excess product into the market, and it needs to have dynamic pricing in order to do that. Next product is the 22-23 OPC Platinum, which looks a lot like Prism and looks a lot like Topps Chrome. It's another shiny product. I just was thinking about that. When I'm looking in the dollar box, I move pretty quickly through the Prisms, the Chromes, the Platinums. It's not that they're boring. They're beautiful cards. All of them, and the technology is great. But I guess that's part of my vintage upbringing, that a matte finish is fine with me, especially if there's some nice design elements. Anyway, the OPC Platinum, 12 packs of 12. I love the systematizing of having, you get three good cards that are in the middle of the pack. Let's see. I think you get three veterans, and then you get three rookies, and then you get three inserts, and then you get three more veterans. So it's something like that, as I recall. So you're in a situation where you can build up some routine as you're opening. And you can see that if you follow breakers when this product is broken, you can just count as you work down through the pack. It points out that in my experience of being at some of the card companies in the card manufacturing plants and the places where they pack out, there are aspects of systematic insertion into packs and ratios, as well as random insertion. And systematic is better in the sense that less can go wrong. You're going to have more of a regular thing. Systematic might mean one per pack. It might mean three per pack. It might be one per box. It might be, which would mean every 24th or every 12th or every 36th, that it's systematically putting a card into that pack, and then it's packed out, boxed up, put in a case, and sent off. And so they don't really know, but they just know that's the system. The random insertion is tricky, because there might be something that's a case, or there are some cards that are less frequent than one case. I think companies have done that differently. It might be that you just put one in every once in a while, and you've got a little stack of them, and over the course of the run, you've got this handful of very valuable cards. But it's not in the company's best, in anybody's best interest, if somebody was trying to steal it. But there have to be cameras to where not only is it going in, it's going in a random place where it can't be discovered after the fact where the Grail card was. Like I said, dynamic pricing for distributors, pros and cons, systematic versus random insertions, pros and cons. But I'd like to have things where less things can go wrong and problems don't fester. If you have systematic insertions, that you could complain about it, but the trade-off of not getting a bad box, I'd like to be the one that got a box full of all great cards that just happened to be at the end of the run what they had left over of a bunch of one of ones. But that means somebody else didn't get a good deal. I just want to get a good deal, and I want everybody else to get a good deal too. And I want distributors to hang around and be able to provide a service that they provide. Okay, last product was, probably already know, it's the 23-24 Upper Deck Hockey Series 2. Saw it for on David Adams. I look there. They're my friends from a long time ago. It's been out about a month, 12 packs of 12. Again, that's already been mentioned, the new configuration of more cards per pack, but less packs. And it does affect some of the odds of getting stuff, but three inserts in a pack of 12. That's nice. Six young guns in the box, which would be expecting to get a young gun out of every other pack. And so everybody knows the chase is Connor Bedard, but there are other, I don't know if it's 49 others, but there's a bunch of young guns, and hats off to Upper Deck as they've developed the young guns franchise for what, that's 30 plus years. I got a Connor Bedard, and it's going on my wall after I get done with grading. I'm not going to expedite it into the grading, but I'm going to submit it in my next submission, and I will get it back. And again, it's packed fresh. I put it immediately in a penny sleeve and then put it in a card saver. And so it'll go next, probably later this month, I'll bring another group of cards to BGS, and that will proudly go on my wall. Now, the Bedard card, even though he's possibly a generational talent, his card goes way up, and then sometimes it gets up too high, and then it comes down as more product is released and people find out it's not hard to get a 9.5 or a 10 out of something that is pack fresh, pack pulled, when people are handling with kid gloves. Again, the question would be, would I buy another? Clearly, That's my big winner. I like the Parkhurst okay. I like the Platinum. I like the Clear Cut, but I'm a very happy camper with my Upper Deck box with my Connor Bedard Young Gun. Now, it's not a parallel, but I got the card that is the card, at least the base card of the player to get in that set. And so I'm not going to keep going because I got something that's going to go in my wall. The next box I get, it's, what would it be? You're one out of eight boxes, let's say, would have a Bedard. So I'm going to stop now. There's an over and under philosophy in betting, which when you think about betting, sometimes in gambling, you think of just winning or losing. I'm going to bet on my team to win. But when you look at the point spread or you look at the number of points, the over under on some of these things is a better way to think about not just gambling, but think about the hobby if you're investing, is that whenever there's a price on a card, if you're buying it and you're an investor, you're going with the over. You're saying, I think it's going to, I'm going to win that bet. It's going to be worth more. And if you're selling something, you're saying, I'm going under. I think the future, I think after the game is played or when the smoke clears, that card is going to be worth less. And so I'm going to sell it now. So that's the way I think of over under as opposed to the hobby. Now, I will say this, in the Upper Deck hockey box, there weren't a lot of parallels. There wasn't a lot of color, wasn't a lot of serial numbering, no game used. I didn't get any autographs. All I got, the feature, were the Young Guns rookies, and I got the best guy. Now, the question in my mind would be, and I wouldn't do this, but in your mind, you can look at this and say, would I rather have Connor Bedard or the other, all the other 49 guys, the other Young Guns? Now, in this hobby, generally, you take the alpha, you take the transcendent player because he's worth more than all the rest of the set. And that happens. And that's, I don't think that's peculiar to our industry. But if somebody said, I'll trade you all the rest of the Young Guns for your Bedard, I don't think I'd do it. But in the long run, it's possible that I'd make out. It's just not a sure thing either way. But that's the Upper Deck controlling the release of the Bedards. That's, I think, his only RC, but he will have more. I also got, again, I'm not getting loaded boxes, but I also got his Young Gun checklist card that he shares with somebody. And it's not a rookie card in one sense, but it's his rookie year. And I would expect if I were trading that, or the value on that has to be way less, a fraction of it. But it's still a Connor Bedard card in his rookie year. Not going to really mess with that. But anyway, I had a great experience. And again, hockey, can I say it's my fourth love? I really enjoyed going to hockey games and following, and these were some good hockey products. And I look forward to showing the Connor Bedard on my card wall and mentioning how I got it. And I'm not unlike any of y'all. I don't see anything wrong with the card. I'm thinking, why is this not a black label 10-10-10-10 BGS black label? But for some reason, my eyesight, or they will find something, it'll probably come back as a 9.5, maybe even a 9, but I'll get what they get. Like I said, they're not mad at me and they're not doing me any special favors. They're treating me like they would treat you, which means they're tough. So anyway, thanks everybody. Enjoy hockey or any sport that you like. And I'm trying to see the good in each of these products, and there is good in each of the products. But when you walk into a show or a store, or participate in a break, you have a choice where you want to spend your money. And Upper Deck makes it tough on you because they've got many different hockey products. You can love hockey, but which product? So giving you a chance to see my experience with four of them. So thanks, everybody. Be back in a couple of days, another episode. The man in the house of cards. The man in the house of cards. The man in the house of cards. Is doing all right.